A few Sundays ago, a member of our church, during the worship service, asked to be able to speak to the congregation just before the benediction. With tears in his eyes, Gerson Rocha confessed, "I am a sinner." He had not done anything especially wrong, no violent acts, no stealing, no huge failure. Rather, Gerson was acknowledging the human condition of being a feeling separated from God. He was admitting, he was confessing, that he could never on his own live a perfect life. He would always and forever come up short. "I am a sinner." Just the day before, Gerson had been advanced in his quest to become an ordained minister. And he was confessing that that advancement and how he had been welcomed into this congregation were pure grace, pure mercy, entirely due to the loving kindness of our forgiving God. And he was so very grateful. "I am a sinner," he confessed. Confession, it is said, is good for the soul. Yet even in this season of Lent, we tend to run away from confession. We tell ourselves that our sin is really not all that bad, not like all those people we read about in the newspapers. So how are you doing with those New Year's resolutions? Continually we say we're going to change our ways. We're going to eat right. We're going to exercise more. We're going to read the Bible more. We're going to pray every day. We're going to give away our money and our time more liberally. So how are we doing with all those good intentions? Confession, good for the soul. And Psalm 32 tells us confession is also good for the body. The psalmist sings, "While I kept silence," that is, while I refused to confess my sin, my separation from God, my faults and failings, my despair, "while I kept silence, my body wasted away. I groaned. O God, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as though I were a grape becoming a raisin in the hot heat of the summer sun. But when I confessed my sin to you, when I acknowledged my wrong, myself turned in upon myself, lo and behold, loving God, you forgave me. You wiped my slate clean. You buried my sin in a deep, dark hole and covered it over so that no one would ever see it or know it. You do not hold my sin against me. It is as though my sin never existed, as though I have lived a perfect and faithful life. You are a hiding place for me, O God. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. You fill up my empty places." May the faithful, may all the faithful offer prayers of confession to you, O God, in times of distress, in times of great anxiety, when we want to be clean and set free from our burdens, when we seek to be honest with you, O God, and when we seek to be honest with ourselves and with all those who love us and care about us, when we want to be honest about who we are and what we've done and what we're doing, it is as though there's a rush of mighty flooding waters that shall not reach us. It is as though we are washed clean and set free from all of our burdens, our despair, our anxieties. Confession, it is said, is good for the soul and for the body. All sorts of peoples and people have found this to be true. The ancient Israelites, according to Leviticus, had a ceremony for this, a day of atonement, Yom Kippur, a fast day, a ceremony that is radically different from the Yom Kippur of today. According to Leviticus, the high priest would go into the temple and he would purify himself. He would offer a sacrifice for himself and for his household. And then two identical goats were selected for the forgiveness, for the atonement of the people. One of the goats was sacrificed in the temple, but the other one had a red ribbon tied around its neck. This was the scapegoat. The priest confessed the sins of the people over this scapegoat, laying his hands on it. And then it was led out of the temple through the throngs of people who spat on the goat, pulled its wool, shouted, "Be gone," casting all of their sin into this goat who was led out of the community up to a high cliff where it was pushed off the cliff to its death. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, was and is a day of renewal near the beginning of the Jewish New Year, wiping the slate clean, covering over and forgetting the sin of the past year, a day of forgiveness, a day of new beginnings, a day when people confess their sin and cast their sin into an innocent scapegoat who carried that sin to its death, so that the sin of the people would not be held against them as they entered the new year. Various peoples through the years and through the centuries have had similar confessional ceremonies. Once a year, every 3 months, or whenever there was a disaster or an epidemic. For some people, it apparently involved a human sacrifice. Some people sacrificed an animal. Some peoples living near the sea or on an island would build small sailboats and cast their sin into the sailboat, which was then set out to sea. And when the sailboat sank or was destroyed, so were their sins, dead and gone. Escape boat instead of escape goat. Confession, it is said, is good for the soul and for the body. The neat thing about our Christian faith and witness is we do not need to wait for the new year to make our confession and to wipe the slate clean, even though we still make New Year's resolutions and break them a week or two later. We do not need to be spurred on by some disaster or epidemic, even though we still hold prayer services when a drought strikes or a community feels threatened. All we need to do whenever we feel convicted, at any time or any place, all we need to do is confess our sin. I am a sinner. I need the grace and mercy of our forgiving God. We do this weekly in this worship service with a printed prayer of confession. But we do not even need to wait until Sunday to confess, to be honest with God, to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with our loved ones and all those who care about us. Many years ago, a pastor's son did something he should not have done. The pastor went to the chairperson of the church's personnel committee and confessed. He offered to resign. But the lady chairperson, herself the mother of 5 grown children, knew all about such happenings that are beyond the control of a parent. She knew that all of us live by grace and mercy. Jimmy Swaggart cried when he confessed his sin to his congregation. when he unburdened himself, and he continues to be the pastor of that church. Jimmy Carter, when he was running for president in 1976, confessed in an interview article in Playboy magazine that he was guilty of lust, that he had committed adultery in his heart many times. President Eisenhower, for days and weeks, denied that the U.S. was spying on the Soviet Union, even while the Soviet Union held in captivity pilot Gary Powers, whose U.S. U-2 spy plane had been shot down over Russia. Finally, Ike came clean with our nation and the world in a famous televised speech, confessing that he had been lying to everyone. I do not know if President Kennedy ever confessed publicly to the wrong that the Bay of Pigs was, but he certainly had cause to do so. Just as President Johnson the same as confessed to the colossal disaster that the Vietnam War was when he announced that he would not be seeking a second full term as president. And Robert McNamara, as Secretary of Defense, was greatly moved and disturbed by the death of a minister just outside his building as the minister had set himself on fire protesting the Vietnam War. McNamara saw the error of his ways and years later sought out that minister's widow and sought forgiveness through confession. Sometimes we resist confessing as Gerson did so publicly, so freely at the close of our worship service. I am a sinner, saying in essence, it is only by the grace of God that I have been advanced in this ordination process. It is only by the grace of God that I have been welcomed into this congregation. Sometimes we resist confession as we feel that we've done nothing wrong, not like Pete Rose or many politicians or the person who backed into our car in the parking lot. Sometimes we're hesitant to confess, not knowing how people will treat us when they know what we're really like. Sometimes we're reluctant to confess our sin because we feel we're not really all that bad, or because we're not being honest with ourselves and cannot be honest with God and with others. Or perhaps we resist confession because we feel God may not love us anymore. But the beauty of the gospel, the greatness of the good news of God's forever love is this. God's love is not a hit or miss thing. It is not offered to us one day and withdrawn the next. The beauty of the gospel is that the life of a Christian is in ever new beginnings. For God's love is a covenant love. God's forgiveness is a pledged and certain matter, forever firm, forever sure, any time, any place. Confession, it is said, is good for the soul as we unburden ourselves of whatever weighs us down so that we may begin again with a clean slate. But the psalmist found that confession is also good for the body, as he was wasting away, drying up like a grape in the heat of the high summer sun under the burden of his unconfessed sin. Afterwards, the psalmist feels the freedom of the rush of mighty cleansing waters. Shalom, peace. The psalmist tells everyone, don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle. Come, confess, be set free. The psalmist sings, many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. For happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen.